Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Tailgate Till May. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you, because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgie, and I love both of those things too. Tonight, we have a big show planned for you because championship week is effectively here. There's a couple games left in the regular season on this Sunday night, but for all intents and purposes, it's championship week. We have the bracket set everywhere but the Big Ten, and it's going to be a fantastic week. This is sneakily, I think, one of the best weekends of basketball of the year. I've said it a million times, I love conference championship week. It's almost as good to me as the NCAA tournament, just because there's even more basketball. There's so much meaning this week when it comes to seeding, when it comes to the bubble, who's in, who's out, who's going to be seeded where. And I think these conference championships are meaningful, especially to players who haven't won them, especially to fan bases that haven't won them in a long time. So tonight, I'm going to look ahead to some of my top storylines that I'm going to be watching out for over the course of championship week. So let's get right into this thing. I'm not going to be giving out any of my picks or bets tonight because I don't have any yet for championship week. But I will, as always, be posting them on Twitter at Gorgon Sports. So make sure you follow me there if you want to see my latest championship week picks. Okay, let's get into it. The top storylines I'm looking at as we head into championship week. And first and foremost for me is the race for that final number one seed, because three of them are locked up. That has become abundantly clear that Purdue, Houston, and UConn will all be number one seeds. Purdue is going to be the number one seed in the Midwest. That Midwest regional will take place in Detroit. UConn is going to be the number one seed in the East regional, which will take place in Boston. And Houston will be the number one seed in the South, which will take place in Dallas. So there's one spot left. It's the number one seed in the West. That regional is going to be in LA. And I think there are three clear contenders for it. I think there are only three teams that can jump up and snag that number one spot. They are Arizona, the Pac-12 champion, Tennessee, the SEC champion, and North Carolina, the ACC champion. Now, two of them, Arizona and Tennessee, ended the regular season on a loss. North Carolina beat their arch rival Duke to clinch the outright ACC title last night. So let's go through and make the case for and against each of these teams. And let's start with Arizona, because they have the highest net rating. They are number four in the net. So let's start there. And the case for Arizona goes a little something like this. The predictive metrics are outstanding. They're number four in BPI, they're number six in KenPom, and they're number four in the net, which does take into account, they kind of say that it's halfway predictive or it's slightly predictive. To me, if you're at all predictive, you're entirely predictive. So I count the net as a predictive metric. So number four in the net, number four in the BPI, number six in KenPom. They also have stepped up against the top tier competition. They're 8-3 in Q1 quad one games, including a neutral site win over Alabama and a road win at Cameron Indoor Stadium against Duke. Those are big time out of conference wins. Their non-conference strength of schedule is very strong. Number 13, if you use the net. Number three, if you use the RPI. And both of those metrics are actually on that team sheet that the committee looks at. So when the committee is looking at that sheet, they will see number 13 non-conference strength of schedule by net, number three by RPI. So that's the case if you want to make it for Arizona. Great predictive metrics, big time out of conference wins. They've done very well against 8-3 in those quad one games. But on the flip side, it's all about who they've lost to. Arizona has 7 losses on the year, and all three of these teams are right around there. Arizona 24-7, Tennessee also 24-7, North Carolina 25-6. But Arizona clearly has worse losses than these other two programs that they're battling it out with for this number one seed. They're the only one of these three programs with a quad three loss. That was at Oregon State, a 13-18 team with a net of 162. The average net ranking of the teams they've lost to is 69, which is significantly worse than Tennessee at 26 and North Carolina at 47. So that's the case against Arizona. And I think this is going to kind of come down to, how does the committee look at this? Is it more about who you've beaten or who you've lost to? Because if they are concerned about who you've lost to, then Arizona is going to be in big trouble when it comes to getting this number one seed. Now, Tennessee, they are number 5 in the net. The case for them is that they have fantastic results-based metrics. They're number 3 in KPI, number 5 in strength of record, but also outstanding predictive metrics. They're number 5 in BPI, number 5 in KenPom, and number 5 in the net. So no matter what way you look at them, they're clearly a top 5 team. They also have no bad losses. 6 of their 7 losses are quad 1 losses, and their lone quad 2 loss is against South Carolina. That's quote-unquote their worst loss. Well, that South Carolina team is projected to be a 5 seed right now at a lot of the places you look. So if your worst loss is to a 5 seed, you're doing pretty good in that regard. They also have some big time wins on the year. They've beaten Auburn. They've beaten Alabama twice. They've beaten Illinois in the non-conference. They've beaten Kentucky. Their strength of schedule is outstanding. Number 9 net strength of schedule. And that's not just their out-of-conference schedule. That's when you combine their full schedule in conference, in the SEC, and out of conference as well. They are 6-3 against the top tier quad one team. So when the committee actually looks at their team sheet, quad one is split into two tiers. They have that very top tier, which is home games against teams in the top 15, neutral site games against teams in the top 25, and road games against teams in the top 40. Tennessee is 6-3 in those games. So they have been outstanding against the top tier competition that they've played. The downside for them is that they have fewer quad one wins than Arizona, and they have the same number of quad one wins as North Carolina in 2 more chances. So they're 7-6 in quad one games, while Arizona is 8-3, North Carolina is 7-4. So that's the case against Tennessee. And then the last team here, North Carolina, number 7 in the net. The case for them is they have a head-to-head win against Tennessee, albeit at home in the Dean Dome, right? So you got to take that into account. But they have beaten Tennessee head-to-head, one of the teams that they are fighting it out with for that number one spot. They also have a sweep of Duke, and they're 3-1 on the year versus net top 10 opponents. The case against them is their metrics are just slightly worse than these other two teams. Number 6 in KPI, number 4 in strength of record, number 11 in BPI, and number 8 in KenPom. So across the board, just a little bit worse. And then the other thing that is kind of the mark against them is they are 1-3 on a neutral court against quad one opponents. So some of their bigger wins have come at home. The Tennessee win, that head-to-head win, that's a home win. But they've lost to UConn on a neutral court. No shame in that. But if you're trying to go and get that number one seed, that can be a differentiator for you. Their best road win at Duke, a fantastic road win. But their next best road or neutral site win is at Clemson. So that's kind of the case against North Carolina there. You'd maybe like to see a little bit more when it comes to the neutral site games, 1-3 in those quad one neutral site games. So if I was handicapping this, it would go like this for me. I think Tennessee is most likely to end up with a number one seed. North Carolina would be next, and then Arizona would be last. And the reason I think that way is because I think Tennessee looks like they're the most well-rounded when you look at this. When you look at those results-based metrics, you look at the predictive metrics, you look at the good wins, you look at how they have really no bad losses, and then in the SEC tournament, they have so many opportunities. They could go out, they could end up getting two more top 10 net wins in this SEC tournament if they go out and win an SEC title. And I think that would be a very good case for Tennessee. I think it'd be hard to keep them out if they go out and take care of business, if they can pick up wins over Auburn and Alabama or Auburn and Kentucky en route to an SEC tournament title. I don't know how you could keep Tennessee out. I don't know what the case would be. Now, things get more interesting if Tennessee loses. It all depends who they lose to, right? We can't sit here and go through every scenario possible, but in the first round, they are very likely to play in their first game in the SEC tournament a desperate Mississippi State team that's on the bubble, a Mississippi State team that looked like it was going to be an absolute lock for the tournament as recently as a couple weeks ago, but they've now lost four in a row. And they're a team that plays a rough and tumble style of basketball. They're going to be desperate, and they could cause some problems. They beat Tennessee earlier this year in January. So if Tennessee were to lose that game, I think it opens a lot up for either North Carolina or Arizona. And I think the reason I'm going to put Arizona or North Carolina second here is because they, like Tennessee, have more opportunities for quad one wins than Arizona does. They could potentially pick up a quad one win over Wake Forest or Pitt in the semifinal round. And then in the championship game, if they played either Duke or Clemson, it would be a quad one win. There's also the possibility they could play Virginia in the final. And while it wouldn't be a quad one win right now, I think after Virginia won two games to get to the ACC tournament championship game, that probably would end up being a quad one win because Virginia is 51 in the net right now. You have to be in the top 50 on a neutral court for it to be a quad one win. So I think very likely if North Carolina were to go and win the ACC tournament, they would pick up two more quad one wins along the way. And then for Arizona, because of the relative weakness of the Pac-12, they just don't have the opportunities that these other two teams do. So I think if all three teams went out, won their tournaments, Tennessee gets it. If Tennessee were to falter and Carolina were to win out, win the tournament, then I think North Carolina would be in a very nice position. I think Arizona is going to need both Tennessee and North Carolina to not win their conference tournaments for them to have a chance because they are going to get at most one more quad one opportunity. And if they don't make the final, then it's going to be a quad two or a quad three loss because that's just what the Pac-12 looks like right now. And like I said, the case against Arizona is who they've lost to. So if they don't win this tournament or they lose in the semifinal, they're likely going to have another one of those questionable losses. So that's the way I see it. And that's the most interesting thing to me going into championship week is who's going to step up and grab that number one seed. Now, another interesting thing with this is let's say Tennessee does go out, they get that number one seed, but they're the number one seed in the West. Is Arizona going to be the number two seed in the West? Because then you're in an interesting situation where you're potentially playing, you're at a significant disadvantage playing Arizona in LA in a regional final in an Elite Eight game, even though you're the number one thing. So I think that's going to be very interesting to watch as well. But I think those are the three teams. I really don't see anybody having a chance other than those three to step up and grab one. Iowa State is a team that's maybe coming up a little bit here. They end the season with a loss to Kansas State. And I think the thing that's just going to hold them back is their out-of-conference strength of schedule. They did not play a very strong non-conference schedule. They have good computer numbers. They're number 9 in the net, but their non-conference strength of schedule is number 327. So I think even if they went out and they won the Big 12 tournament and they beat, and I think their path would have to be, just want to make sure I have it right here, their path could potentially be Texas, Baylor, and Houston. I think even if they won those three games, I still think it wouldn't be enough because of that out-of-conference strength of schedule. So I really see it as those three, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Arizona, duking it out for that last number one spot. That's the number one thing I'm watching. The second thing I'm watching is how healthy are Marquette and Kansas this week, and how do they play it this week as they try to get ready for the NCAA tournament. For Marquette, they've been missing all Big East, unanimous all Big East guard Tyler Kolick the past couple games, and they're supposed to reevaluate him before the Big East tournament. Shaka Smart seemed optimistic earlier this week that he would be able to play in the Big East tournament, but how do they handle Kolick? How healthy is Tyler Kolick? Because I think that if Marquette is healthy, they are a team that can go to a Final Four and win a national championship. So I think that's going to be something very interesting to watch. Kansas, on the other hand, it's looking a little less optimistic. Kansas gets blown out by Houston to end the regular season. Kansas is the number 6 seed in the Big 12 tournament, and Hunter Dickinson suffers a shoulder injury, dislocated shoulder in his right shoulder in the second half of that game. It was popped back into place, but he was self said after the game that he was supposed to get an MRI when they got back to Lawrence. So we're waiting to find out what is going on with Hunter Dickinson there. The other injury that they've been battling through is Kevin McCullough's injury. And that's something that's been going on for quite a while now. And the thing with Kansas is that when they are healthy and their starting five can compete with anybody, but if they're not healthy, they're already so thin that it's just a completely different team. I saw this stat tweeted by Henry Greenstein. He's the sports editor for Lawrence Journal World. He covers the Jayhawks, and he tweeted that before January 22nd, Kevin McCullough was shooting 50% from the field, 38% from deep, and 84% from the free throw line. Beginning January 22nd, that was the first day that Bill Self mentioned McCullough was battling that knee bruise. He has shot 37, just under 37% from the field, just under 27% from deep, and 68.5% from the free throw line. This injury has really impacted him. And if they're down McCullough and Dickinson, or those two guys are both banged up, I think that really spells trouble for Kansas. So it's going to be interesting to watch this week. How does Kansas play that? How healthy can they get those guys going into the tournament? Because I think for both of these teams, if they are fully healthy, they can get to Phoenix. They can win a national championship. And that's going to be the second thing that I'm watching over the course of championship week. And then the third and final thing that I'm going to be watching is Thursday at the Big East tournament. Now, there's always bubble intrigue. That's nothing new, right? Every year, we're talking about who's in, who's out, who's going to make it, who's not. But for me, this Thursday quarterfinal round at Madison Square Garden is going to be the most intriguing thing you see all week when it comes to those bubble conversations, because you are going to have, the bracket is set, we're going to have Seton Hall against St. John's in a bubble battle. Both of those teams, depending on where you look, 10 seed, 11 seed, in the first four in conversation, in the first four buys conversation. So that's a bubble battle head-to-head right there on a Thursday afternoon in Madison Square Garden. That's going to be incredible. And then, depending on if Providence and Villanova win their first-round matchups, you could have a Providence team going against Creighton, trying to get a big-time Q1 win as they try to bolster their resume. And you could have the same thing with Villanova against Marquette. You know, Marquette, we just talked about it, dealing with this Tyler Kolek injury. How cautious are they with him? How concerned are they about getting him back in the lineup and trying to win a Big East tournament and, you know, make sure he's in a rhythm, he's in a groove, versus making sure that he is really rested and healthy going into the big dance? So for me, that Thursday at Madison Square Garden has the potential to be incredible. We're going to see a lot of bubble implications that day. And I think if you're concerned about who's in, who's out, maybe you're an Indiana State fan and they lost today in the Missouri Valley Conference Championship game to Drake, that's what you got to watch. You got to watch Thursday at the Big East Tournament because there is a lot of bubble implications going on that day. It's going to be a fantastic week of basketball, one of my favorite of the year. There's so many games, wall-to-wall action, left and right. That Thursday and Friday are absolutely special. I can't wait for it. I hope you enjoy those games. And until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.